Hello. I just don't think there's any way I'm going to be able to get all this stuff out of the background. So I'm not going to worry about it. How's everybody doing tonight? Let me change my name. I'm Coach Betsy. Let me know in the chat if you can hear me. Let me pull up the chat. Hello. All right. Glad y'all can hear me. How's everybody doing tonight? Let's see. While everybody's coming in, let's do a little update. I was actually just looking in the Facebook page, kind of what we are focusing on this week. Mary Jo, our amazing community manager, always puts up what's going on this week. This week in PNP Tribe is the picture in Facebook. And so I wanted to let y'all know kind of what's going on other than the calls we've got. And I see that we have a few hands raised, which is awesome. As many of you all know, I am in Nashville this week for our Lose Weight and Gain Control with Corinne event. 6 days in a room with Corinne. We just finished day four, so we are over halfway done. I'm going to give you all a little sneak peek here in a minute in terms of what we covered today, just for fun. But I wanted to give you all a quick update and kind of let you know what we're doing. So, and y'all can ask me questions if you want to. If you have questions, speaking of, be sure and put those in the Q&A box. And I'll get to some questions at some point. But we definitely have a good little line of people that want to get coached. So I'll start on that in just a minute. But first, let's see what we want you to focus on this week. Continuing no BS, right? Just at your own pace, continuing no BS. You may still be in phase one, you may already be over in phase four. But it's just going at your own pace is the important thing there. So that's number one. Number two is to look back at your data from January, if you have any, right? If you've done plans, if you did your habit tracker, if you didn't, just kind of think back in January because it's now January 29th, right? It's almost the end of January. So you want to be thinking what you want to focus on for February. So that's kind of what we do around here is that we assess our previous month and then we decide what is one thing we want to really focus on, one thing, maybe one of the four basics, just maybe one specific meal that you're seeing a pattern of overeating or something like that, that you just want to focus on small steps leading up to. Oh, Wanda's on here. She's here with me in Nashville. You want to focus on these small things, right, that lead up to big results. So think about what you're going to focus on in February. And then finally, complete your monthly planning pages, which are in your planner. And y'all know with the planner, you can either purchase it or you can print out the pages or you can do it. We actually had a little meetup last night. I wasn't there, but a bunch of the digital divas who do all their plans on their iPads with GoodNotes were there and they talked all about kind of what they do with their planners. So some folks do it all electronically. So that is what it's going on this week. And then, okay, I was going to give you all a little sneak peek. And Wanda knows about this since she was in the room today. So today we discussed, so we kind of have kind of a general theme each day, and today was all about it was called a new perspective, and it's really just all about kind of identifying our old beliefs and whether they're or you know the beliefs that we have right now, our current beliefs, and whether they're serving us or not. And so here's a couple of questions that all the ladies did work on this today in the 6 day event. So there's this worksheet. What are some of your bullshit thoughts? And I want y'all to put some in the chat. What are some of your bullshit thoughts around dieting, body, weight, and food? Y'all give me a few of your bullshit thoughts. And then we went through a little four-step process to reframing our old beliefs. through questioning. And that's what we're talking about here, is that we're talking about identifying our old beliefs and then questioning those and seeing if they are really serving us, if they're really working for us. One bite won't hurt, I just saw from Merle. So here's the four-step process. Identify the distorted belief. That's what y'all are doing right now, right? AKA your bullshit thinking. Basically, what your bullshit thinking is thought errors or thought distorted beliefs that you've just been thinking for a long time. The next step is to question if it's true. So someone says, I need to count calories. Is that true? Ask yourself, you know, these beliefs that you've been thinking for so long, is this true? And really be honest with yourself, right? Do some journaling, do a big TDL on it. I think I need to keep to count calories. Is that true? Number three is to reframe and come up with a believable intentional thought, right? That's the key. We're always talking about working on changing our thoughts. And then number four is project and reflect. I love that. It rhymes. Project and reflect on the new thought. What might happen if I start thinking that new thought? Like, for example, with the counting calories, if I decide, okay, that's not true, because that's not what PNP teaches. We teach the hunger scale. So my new thought could be something like, I am working on believing that I need to listen to my body and it will tell me how much food to eat and when to stop. I'm working on believing, right? I may not quite believe it yet, but I'm working on believing. What might happen if you start thinking that? So I just thought that was a really good thing that we covered. And that's just something y'all can do in your TDL tonight or in the morning. Just identifying, just picking out one bullshit thought, asking yourself, is it true? Then working on coming up with a new thought to practice, and then doing a thought download about what, like, how would your life change? What would you do differently? What might happen if you start thinking that new thought and start practicing that new thought? So that's your little bit of homework for tonight or tomorrow. So let me just look back through here real quick, and then we'll get going on coaching. I will only get a boyfriend when I lose all my weight. Oh my gosh, there were some people talking about that in the 6-day this week, right? Beliefs about, like, I can only go and get into a relationship, or I can only be loved by someone, by a partner, if I'm thinner. Thinking some foods are bad. What if you didn't think any foods were bad? That I have to eat cauliflower instead of pasta to avoid gaining weight, right? What if you could eat pasta and still lose weight? One bite won't hurt, right? I won't stay in maintenance, right? If you keep thinking that, your brain's just going to scan your environment. How can we not stay in maintenance? How can we gain all of our weight back? Let's look for reasons, right? Fasting and more fasting is the way. Again, that's an individual thing, right? For some people, fasting works, but does it work for you? And that's where that, is that true for me? You could even add for me at the end. Is that true for me? Because that's what's important, right? It's not what's important, what's true for somebody else or for what Dr. Oz said today on, you know, on the show. What's true for me? What works for me? I'm just a big person. What if that wasn't true, Cynthia? We talked about that today, actually, where people believe that just because they've always been overweight, does that mean, I mean, we know that Corinne is living proof. She was overweight as a child, and she was able to lose the weight. Brandy, make that plan. Make the plan now, today, right now. I don't care if you've even eaten, and you don't even have to eat anything else today. At least assess it, right? And then you've done it today. What if you can't find the new thought because the old thought seems so true? Well, you have to decide that you're at least going to question the old thought. Because, yeah, that's why you can't find a new one, because you believe the old one is true. if you believe the old one is true, a new thought, you're not going to ever believe a new thought. So you at least have to say, you know what, I'm open to believing that I could believe, I'm open to that, I'm open to believing that I could think something else. That might even be just your thought. It may not even be more specific than that yet. Wonderland won't happen for me, right? And when your brain hears that, starts to come up with evidence of how can we stay out of Wonderland, right? I think I need to hurry up and lose all my weight before the wedding. Is that true? Is that true, Mar? And if it's not true, what could be true? Okay, so that is some really good work for y'all to do. So in the show notes, I'll list the four steps just to remind you what they are and what I talked about, and then y'all can work on that in your TDLs, post in Facebook about it, all that kind of stuff, okay? All right, we are going to get to coaching. And again, don't forget to post any questions in the Q&A. I can probably do a few of those at the end. But I have got Kendra, Jessica, Leslie, and Amber up. So Kendra, you are up first. Hi.
Hi.
Put your sound on here. Let's see. Get situated here. Okay, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, can you hear me?
Say something. Oh, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? Let's see. Hello? Can you hear me?
I don't know. Have you done a call before?
Yeah.
You have your settings, your audio settings?
Is that working?
Done. Check your settings.
Is that working?
Because it doesn't look like I can do anything.
They're saying that they can hear me on the chat.
You can hear her. Oh my gosh, y'all. It was totally my fault. I had my volume off of my computer. Because everybody was like, I can hear her. Okay.
Well, I use Zoom for work. So I was like, I think. Like, you should be able to hear me.
Got this. Totally my mistake. All right. Well, I can only come here on the call tonight. So, okay. What's up? What's going on?
Well, at first I want to thank you for your coaching the other day. It really helped.
Good.
And I feel like I'm turning into a coaching junkie. So if everyone gets tired of seeing my face, I don't really care.
You're back again. Yes. Well, I mean, just we're here, right? Raise your hand. And
I waited from like September to be on a call. So I'm like, let's go.
Okay. Let's do this.
So I had a coaching call with not Corinne, with Kathy.
Kathy. Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about some work stuff. And I've had a couple posts about this, but like PMP is not like main, like my deal for being PMP is not like weight so much. I mean, I've got some shit around weight, but it's like the opposite direction. But my things are like my finances, which I feel like are kind of in a good place right now. But like the thing that I really want to work on now is showing up at work and being an employee that's worth her time. Mm-hmm. So I did some of the time, I finished an OBS and then I started the time management class. And I just want to run my goal by you because I think it's a little bit like,
okay.
And I just want to make sure I'm not biting off more than I can chew and then failing because I have tried to change too much at once. So the goal is like for the next 30 days to become an exceptional employee, which already sounds a little bit out there. But then the thing under that where it asks, I know I'm done because I have like 5 reasons.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was going to ask, like, how do you measure yourself as an exceptional employee?
Okay. So I feel like based on those reasons, it would be like reasonable or not. And I started, so one, the first one is do 20 distraction journals, which I basically have started like during meetings so I don't zone out, mm-hmm. writing all my thoughts and like all the notes from the meeting and like just getting it down and then printing it out and putting it in a binder.
Okay.
So do 20 of those by February 29th. Calendaring my day at least 4 times a week.
Okay.
So like just for my work stuff right now, like from the hours of 10 to like 3:30, have like things blocked in for what I need to do that day. That's number two. And then three is figure out how to organize my email.
That's pretty vague. That's kind of vague, right? You want to get like more specific with that. A measurable way to, you know, a specific way to measure that at the end of the month.
Okay. Yeah, I might need help with that then, because right now I just have my inbox is organized and there's a system in place.
Okay. 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 Keep going with the other.
Okay. And then four is, well, that's another calendar. So it's basically the repeat of two. And then five is say I'm only doing like work related items. Like if that's research, if that's doing a project, between 10 and 12, and then between 1 and 3:30, like having that constraint on my time that if I'm sitting, if like I'm not doing anything else, like I'm sitting at my desk and if I'm bored, I'm bored.
Okay. So here's the deal kind of about goals in terms of, you know, measurable goals. You really want to word them as results, like as if they've already happened. And so if you kind of think about the result line of the model, so you will say like, okay, I will have, could word it that way maybe, like I will have, you know, the certain number of, you said distraction journals, you know, done by February 29th. By February 29th, I will have, you know, a calendar that has been, you know, planned and assessed every day, right? Like as if it's already happened. You want to just take yourself to February 29th and say, okay, this is the result that I got. And because you're really talking about it like as your future self, as if it's done already.
Okay.
So there's a, you know, a little bit of wording kind of tweaking there that you can do.
Sure.
And then also just working on being, you know, very measurable and specific. So with the email, it's like, okay, on February 29th, what does your email look like, or how many emails, or do you have folders for every single message, or do you, I mean, you have like zero messages in your inbox or whatever it is. What does your email look like on February 29th, and try to be as specific as possible.
Okay.
And yeah, so that kind of wording. So I think you definitely got a good start, but it's wording them. Like when Corinne has us plan out our week, we have to post all of that, and it's just like we word it as, you know, this is the result that we got.
Okay.
You know, this is the result we will have at the end of the week, as if it's already done.
Right.
Yeah.
And then just one, I think it's going to be short, but when I did the thought download, which I actually did before I started the time management class, mm-hmm. I noticed like, well, I first like wrote all the feelings that I would ideally like to have. And then I wrote like what I actually am feeling. And it is like this.
Okay.
But I feel like with this particular topic, mm-hmm. I'm not like, if I just practice, like there's that page where you do, it was actually perfect because it was like the page that you're currently feeling and paid the things that you want to feel. Like if I just read that every day, I don't think like the, there's not enough like resistance because I don't want to feel these other ways,
right,
but
right.
I can just practice the new thought. Is that okay for like this kind of thing where it's not like emotionally charged? It's just like, oh shit, that was what's in my brain.
Well, but I mean, I did hear you say at the beginning of your question, you were like, I'm kind of feeling like, whatever that feeling is. So what is that feeling of, you know, well, I'm kind of feeling, about this, you know, these goals, this goal that I've set.
It's like 70% excitement and then 30, like, are you going to really do it?
Okay. Like, you know, uncertainty, right?
Exactly.
And so, yeah, you want to kind of, I think you want to have like a model of where you are right now and, you know, a model of where you want to be on February 29th, but, you know, and then maybe kind of in you, and then you're going to have some intermediate models where you're moving from uncertainty and nervous into curiosity and, you know, patience or whatever it is, right? And so you just want to kind of know that you're throughout the month, you're going to move from, you know, between the two models, and you may not get to the ideal model by the end of the month, but you're still moving towards it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so just keep doing TDLs and models all throughout the month as you go, you know, as you're assessing what you're accomplishing. But then the key thing is at the end, you know, at the end of the month when you're assessing, it's, well, I want you to do this now, actually. Like, what if I don't accomplish all of this stuff at the end of the month?
Do you want me to tell you what I just thought?
Yeah.
I feel like even if I do a little bit of this, it will be a drastic improvement from where I am right now.
Well, that's great in terms of, because, you know, when you set a goal, I'll get up on my little soapbox with goals. Like, I truly believe that goals are, give you a direction to go for, right? They give you a direction, but they are a, you know, you never know exactly what's going to happen by February 29th, right? We can't predict the future, but we can set goals that give us a direction. But what's really more important than just February 29th is February 12th and February 16th and February, you know, 22nd and all these days in between, where you are doing things and building habits. And like you said, oops, oh, my internet's okay. Where you're building all these habits, you're doing things when you don't want to, right? You're sitting with the discomfort of the boredom you're talking about. All that stuff in between today and February 29th, when you're building all these skills. And that's what's really important about, that's the whole point of goal setting, is to build skills and the person that you become reaching towards that goal.
Yeah. I picked this because I put a post on Facebook about all these things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them are just like, they still seem like really tough. And like, I just kind of don't want to do something super tough right now.
Okay.
And I figure like super big benefit if I even do a little bit of this, and let's test it out on something that I'm not,
I mean, big benefit,
necessarily.
Low effort, you know, low effort, big benefit sounds like a great plan always. So so just go for it.
Okay. Yeah,
sounds great. All right. Keep us posted.
Okay. Well,
okay. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. Exceptional employee. I like that. Yeah. I think she had a cat that was meowing in the background. Okay. Jessica and Leslie are up. I don't know why it kind of changes order, but Jessica, Leslie, and Amber. Jessica, and keep track here. Let's see. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I think you accidentally shared your screen with me or something.
Oh.
Yes. Did you do that? There we go. Hold on. Let's see. Okay. Are you there?
I am.
Okay, let me ask you to start your lesson. Oh. There you are. Okay. All right, what's going on?
Well, I'm a January baby, and I started out doing pretty well, and then last Friday I got laid off from work, and I've really been struggling this whole week since then. And I've been checking in with my accountability group, and someone recommended that I jump on a coaching call. So
good.
Here I am. Basically I, have not been doing 24-hour plans, and even when I am doing them, I'm not following through on them.
Okay. And why not? What's going on there?
I feel like I'm lost. Like, before, when I was working, I had a schedule. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd get to work, have my coffee. Before work, I would do my 24-hour plan. And, you know, I just would have my water sitting on my desk. And now I feel like I just don't have any schedule at all. And I just feel lost. I'm not remembering to drink my water.
Here's the deal about a schedule, right? I mean, if you really think about it, we always have a schedule. Now, it may be different every day, but what the word schedule means is it's how you spend your time every day. So we all spend our time in some way every day. So you saying I don't have a schedule is not true. Right? Because you are alive spending your time in some way.
Okay.
So that is, I mean, so you, that's just something you can say, okay, that's not true. No, I may not have the same schedule every day, which like I used to have at work, but that's absolutely something that you can create now. Right?
Right.
Yeah. And so, and the thing is about a schedule is it wasn't because you were at work that you had a schedule, right? I mean, you just decided, okay, I have this job. I think they want me to be there at a certain time. So I'm going to create a schedule around that. But you can absolutely create a schedule whenever you want, whatever you're doing, whether you're home, at work, or anything, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you think about me saying that about creating your own schedule now?
Well, I've been thinking that is definitely what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And, I did lay out a couple of things that mm-hmm. I needed to do to make myself more successful being at home. And one of the things was, I had a desk, but like the chair that I used at my desk, cause I never really sat at my desk before at home. The chair was very uncomfortable. So, just to make my desk area, a place that I could sit at and search for a job. So I actually spent yesterday and went on Facebook Marketplace and bought a desk chair that's comfortable and set up my whole desk area. So it looks pretty and,
So I know you're new, so you may not be into the models and stuff yet. Are you familiar at all with the model and thought work and all of that?
Yeah, I think I'm in the middle of the phase 4.
Okay. So you're pretty far along. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and what we're talking about here, I don't have my whiteboard here since I'm out of town, but so that's your action line is to like, you know, get your desk set up and buy your new chair and all of that. Right. What thought is that coming from? Like, what are you thinking that's resulted in you getting your desk's area set up and all of that? Or how are you feeling?
I'm feeling like if I don't, I feel like it would be very easy for me to get into a place and just sit at home all day and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be out of work for very long. Yeah. So
it may be a thought like, I don't want to be out of work very long.
Right. Yeah.
But I want you to kind of do some journaling and really kind of work on turning that thought around to more positive, right? What do you want? You know, you don't want to be out of work very long, but what you want is I want to find a job, you know, in this area and all of that, and really work on kind of formulating your story now, your thoughts. Because yeah, what's going on here is you're thinking something like, okay, I'm want to find a new job. And that's how does that feel when you think, okay, I want to get my home set up so I can get a new job. How does that feel?
That thought feels good, but mm-hmm. the thought that keeps popping into my head is that it feels very, I've never been out of work where I didn't have another job lined up. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's going to be very hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I feel like it's going to be really hard for me to find another job. And I don't
You're kind of going back and forth between these two thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Like you're thinking this is going to be hard, but then you're working on it and you're thinking, but I've still got to find a job. And so I'm going to get my desk set up and I'm going to get, my schedule, get a schedule going and things like that. So it's just important to know that, yeah, that you can have these two thoughts at the same time where okay. you can be thinking, it sounds like you're feeling some fear, right? You're feeling some uncertainty.
Yeah.
But then you can also practice this thought over here that we kind of call it pausing the model, where you can be thinking like, this is going to be hard and I'm scared. But then you pause right there before you do any actions like, overeating or maybe just, going and watching TV or something like that. You pause the model right there and you think, no, I think I want to think something differently. I want to practice thinking something differently. And you're thinking, no, I know what I need to do. I can set up my desk. I can start looking for a job. I can, get into action. And so you just got both of these kind of models that you're holding at the same time. And that's totally normal, especially when you're practicing something new. But it's just continuing to practice this new model of I'm working on believing that I will get an amazing job, that all of this was supposed to happen this way or whatever it is that you want to think. And I want you to do some journaling and really come up with what you want to practice thinking. But you're already thinking it because you bought the chair and you're setting things up and you're working on setting up a new schedule. And that's all part of this new model. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So just knowing that it's okay to have both. And you just kind of want this to start kind of outweighing this one, and you want because this is the model that gives you the results you want. This is the model that will ultimately get you the job that you want. And but it's just being okay with this other model being over there, and being, those old thoughts just always being there.
All right.
So you're on your way. You're doing great, but be sure and also set up a schedule. It's up to you to create your own schedule now and have that include your plan and all of that, right? And just decide, okay, every day at 7:30, that's my planning time. And we know it only takes 5 or 10 minutes max to do that planning every day. And and that will really help when you have that structure back in your life.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions?
No, I think that's it for today.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us posted.
Thank you.
All right. I'm glad you got on here.
All right.
See ya. Bye. All right. Amber, Rebecca, and Katie. I see maybe one question in the Q&A. Let's see. Kendra said that was my cranky. Hello. There you
I'm
are.
Trying.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
So I'm crazy. I'm doing okay. I am a January baby. I am just getting through the No BS course. I did orientation and then the planner. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the 24-hour plan, and I'm kind of stuck here.
Okay.
I'm trying to do the realistic plans, and what I'm realizing is that I snack a lot more than I ever thought I did. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to build in snacks, but then what happens is I get this rebellious little, I deserve this, I don't, who am I to tell myself what to do? I'm literally rebelling against myself.
Against yourself. So, okay. So I want you to, I want you to answer. Anytime your brain asks a question, I want you to answer it. And that's for everybody because our brain loves to ask questions, but then it doesn't ever answer them, cause we get to just stay confused. So I want you to answer it. Who am I? What'd you say? Who am I to tell myself what to eat or something like
right
that. So answer that. What is your answer to that? Who am I to tell, who are you to tell yourself what to eat?
I mean, I'm the mistress of my own destiny is what I want to say.
Exactly.
But
love it
in okay. that moment. I think that the thought that I have is I didn't know how hungry I would be. And I think that I'm having a lot of problems doing the realistic plan. And part of it is I had gastric bypass, and I'm still, and I know how to eat for that
right.
until I had my babies. And then I lost my restriction because of the relaxin or whatever that is. And I'm just starting to get it back, and I can't figure out how to tell when I'm hungry or not because I don't feel hunger. Mm-hmm. But I have to eat enough food, mm-hmm. and then I have fat brain. So it's this dichotomy of things, and I'm trying to figure out how to do all that.
What is fat brain?
Fat brain is I'm hungry because it tastes good, or because that sounds good, or it looks good.
So fat we kind of call that basically eating when you're not physically hungry, right? Or like mouth hunger rather than stomach hunger.
Yeah, yeah. I've always called that fat brain.
I just hadn't heard that term.
It's because my brain is hungry, but my body is right. not, if that makes right. any sense. Yeah, so we call
well,
it.
Well, but here's the thing. If you know that you have fat brain, then you know that there are some times when you know you're not really physically hungry. So there are times when you know what your hunger signals are.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, like a lot of the time, I got a lot to unpack, but when that happens, it's usually I just finish eating. Okay. And then my brain says, excuse me, no, we're still hungry. And then I want to eat something else. Yeah. And then I say, you know, and I'll sit there and I'm like, no, I don't. I just ate what I plan to eat, but I still, my brain's like,
that's just an urge, right? That's just an urge to eat more.
And then the problem that I have and the question that I have ultimately is how do you deal with the anger? Because mm-hmm. I legitimately get pissed off that I can't eat more or that I can't eat what I want in that moment.
So what? I mean, do you want to lose weight?
I do.
All right. So what are you, I don't think you haven't gotten to the model lesson yet. But what are you thinking like that's creating anger for you? What are you thinking? I mean, we talked about like, who am I, right? I mean, who am I to, I mean, and you're just doing something new, right? And so, I mean, you're just, there's going to be always be resistance to doing something new, but where is the anger coming from? Why are you feeling angry?
I don't like to be told what to do under the best of circumstances, period. And now I'm telling myself what to do in a restrictive way. And I'm.
Well, but you're thinking of it as as restrictive. When,
truth.
I mean, that's just a thought, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a different way. It's different than how you've been eating, but it's not, it's not restrictive unless you just think it is. It's different and it may be less food.
Yeah.
But it's what your body needs. It's what's going to ultimately get you to the goals that you really want.
And so
it's not really restrictive because right now you're restricting yourself from your weight loss, you know, from reaching your goals and reaching your dreams. That's what's restrictive. Following the four basics and doing our plan sets you free. You could think about it that way if you want.
That's
to.
That's true. So do you think that, because what happens is I get in this place where I have that thought, and when I'm not in that moment, I can definitely see the outside perspective. Mm-hmm. But like in that moment, how do you remind yourself?
You just got to call bullshit on it. I mean, you just got to say that's not true. That's not something that's going to get me where I want to go. And I'm just doing something different this time. That was one of my biggest power thoughts when I was losing weight, was just, I just got to do something different if I want something different. And I think for you, I go back to what you said, like, I don't like someone else telling me what to do. And it's like, you're almost seeing yourself as two different people, right? But it's like, you're all one person. you're choosing this. You are really, there's definitely some victim mentality here. Like you are a victim to this choice that you made to join PNP and do this stuff. No, you made this choice. You can absolutely, you know, do something different whenever you want. So it's just taking responsibility and saying, no, I signed up for PNP. I'm committed to doing this. And that's where your compelling reasons come in. And that's, you know, that's that worksheet. I want definitely want you to do that worksheet if you haven't yet, where you have every single reason you want this written down.
Yeah.
Because that will help you remind you why you're, when you get into this anger, when you get into this, I don't want to do this, and who am I to tell me what to do?
It sounds so stupid when you say it out loud, but legitimately, that's what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, it's great that you're so aware and you're honest with yourself about what you're saying, right? And then you don't want to judge yourself, right? You want to just laugh about it and say, okay, that's kind of ridiculous. And then you want to remind yourself, no, this is why I'm telling myself to do this. It's because of all these reasons that I've listed.
Maybe I should just print those out and carry them with me for those moments.
Yes.
So I guess that leads me to a last question. Okay. And I know that there's other people, but when it comes to the realistic plans, I think one of the reasons why I think it's so restrictive is like, I'm going to have this for snack, and then I go to do the snack, and that is the last thing that I want, and I want something different. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of options. I mean, you can give yourself a few choices, especially when you're at first, when you're doing this. Give yourself a few choices. I mean, just take, you know, leave the drama out of that. Just give yourself a few choices, but constrain yourself to those few choices. And then over time, you can work on committing to one thing. But I just think for you, since you're so new at it, just give yourself a few choices and say, okay, I can have one of these. I mean, give yourself 5 choices.
Like a 1% level up down the road kind of a thing.
Yeah, down the road. Like, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to 4 choices. I'm going to go to 3 choices. I mean, you don't even have to go from 5 to 1. It's just gradually. And so you're, because you're building this muscle of commitment of just doing what you say you're going to do and also doing things when you don't want to, right? I mean, just like eventually you want to get to a point where you plan this food. And the time comes where, you know, it's not super exciting. You don't really want to eat it, but this is what I planned. This is what I'm doing. But you're not quite there yet, and that's okay. You're building that skill.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I skip the whole let's level up thing and try to jump too far. And that's probably why I'm feeling restricted.
Yes, you're too much too soon. And that's never a good idea. You want to do is make small changes. That's why we talk about that 1% level up, right? You know, patience for that, because that's what works. That's what works for us. And that's what will keep the weight off forever.
Thank you. I've been trying to figure out, like, why do I feel so angry and restricted? Like, this isn't even the same thing as what I've been through. And I've been through some drama with weight loss and, you know, going from eating regular to the bariatric diet and all of that. And the 2 weeks of just leave. I did all of that, right? And then I'm getting to this where I'm open and free, and I was feeling like, we're back in it.
Yeah. Well, and are you a member of the weight loss surgery group, the Facebook group?
I had to back away from some things because I was feeling overwhelmed.
Okay. Well, then that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. You can go in there when you're ready, or just go in there and ask a specific question if you want to. But if that's too much for you right now, then that's fine. That's fine.
I mean, I've been on this one lesson about the 24-hour plan for about 2 weeks now.
Right.
Right.
Love now, it.
I'm there for a minute because I still haven't got it right. So
love it. I mean, just take as much time as you need. Listen to it as many times as you need to. Take notes. It's not going anywhere. It will always be here for you. So take
it. I took her seriously when she said, get it right before you move to the next one. And that's where I've been. So thank you so much for your time.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Rebecca said to wait on her. So I'm going to go on to Katie and Mar and Melinda. Rebecca, just let me know when you're ready. Okay, Katie. There you are. Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Good. Good.
So last week you coached me on some relationship stuff.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm still really holding on to this. And so I guess my question tonight is, like, when I'm doing the thought work and I know, okay, I have to choose these different thoughts, mm-hmm. but the hurt is still there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just feel like I'm stuck. And so I'm just...
Well, it's kind of like what I was talking about before with Jessica, where it's like you're holding these two things at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. You're holding these two, you know, two models or two feelings at the same time. Like, yeah, it's totally normal for you to continue to feel hurt while you're working on feeling something new. And you're going to go back and forth and back and forth between hurt and maybe curiosity or, you know, or compassion or whatever it is, right? So mm-hmm. it's just like recognizing that, yeah, the hurt is still there. And that doesn't mean I'm doing this wrong. That doesn't mean that, and there may always be some hurt there. That's the thing. It's just this, it's not this all or nothing or absolute, you know, thought work is just interesting where it's, you know, I'll be doing something and something that I really thought I had, you know, kind of really worked on and figured out, and then something will happen and that old model will just pop back up like a whack-a-mole, you know, game. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, oh, okay, well, it's, you know, it's still there because it's maybe something I've thought and felt for a long time, you know, and it's just like, okay, I just know that I have, you know, some more work to do on it. And it's just recognizing that nothing's gone wrong. Nothing is, you know, is broken or not, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just, you're just maybe right now working on feeling hurt a little bit less, right? It's like, mm-hmm. it takes some patience to, you know, this work, right? And it doesn't, there's no timeline. There's no instruction manual on how long it takes, but it's just at some point in the future, you realize, wow, I'm feeling a lot less hurt than I used to, but mm-hmm. there's no way to know how long that's going to take and how much work that's going to take. So it's just really like, okay, are you up for it? You know, are you up for just continuing to do the work for as long as it takes?
Okay. So when going through something, like, what does your daily process look like when you are working on it? Like, how much time are you spending or what are you specifically doing? Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, definitely if it's something that, you know, I'm kind of actively working on, I'm always, you know, in my morning journaling, I am doing a, you know, a thought download and a model on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it may be the very same model as yesterday. That's another thing. It's not like it's necessarily something new every day. It may just be the same model, but even just the act of writing it out again, like, this is what I'm practicing. This is what I'm continuing to practice every day. Just the repeat and the, just like when you write out your goals every day, when you write out your plan every day, you know, all of this writing is so much more powerful than we realize. And so it may just be like, okay, I'm just continuing to work on this model today. And then I, you know, the thought that I'm practicing or the feeling that I want to feel, I may include that as part of my, you know, in the planner, there's like, okay, the thought I'm working on practicing today could be that thought. Mm-hmm. And then my question of the day might be, how can I feel, you know, if your new feeling is open or compassionate or love for myself or love for someone else, how can I feel these feelings today? And that gets your brain working all throughout the day. And you want to be sure and remind yourself of that question at different times throughout the day, whether you put it in your phone as like a reminder or something like that. And so that just gets your mind working even in the background when you're like doing other things. Mm-hmm. Your mind is always working of, okay, if you keep those feelings, remind yourself of those a few times a day, your brain just continues to kind of scan your environment, looking for ways to feel that way. And okay. then, yeah. And so then it's that daily kind of practice of doing that. And again, over okay. time, you just retrain your brain to think this new model and go through this new model most of the time, but it's still okay. not 100%, you know? And it's just being okay with, okay, I've got this old stuff in my mind and it's just because I've thought it for a long time, That doesn't mean I have to act on it or even talk to it or even notice it over time. And then I'm intentionally, that's why we call it the intentional model. You're intentionally practicing this other thing that you want that gets you the result that you want.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. I feel like everybody else just does the thought download and then they automatically.
No. That's not how it works. You're always, especially at first, you're always holding these two models at the same time, where you're just, sometimes you're feeling the unintentional and sometimes you're feeling the intentional. And sometimes they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Okay. And that's how it works. But the good news is that we have these tools, right? We have these tools to continue to practice. And yeah, it doesn't just happen like that. It is a constant daily practice, but then over time it does get easier.
Okay.
Okay. This was a really good question. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Yeah, that was that's good for everybody to hear. Okay. Let's see. Mar. We got Mar, Melinda, and Cynthia. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Can you hear me? I'm great. How are you?
Yes, good.
Awesome. So we met at Amy Porterfield's experience in San Diego.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
And I have been super excited about starting my coaching business and getting my side hustle class built. And then I thought, you know, I'm listening to Rachel Hollis and she says you can only focus on one goal at a time. Mm-hmm. So I want to focus on P&P. That's my goal. Okay. That's my goal.
Okay.
And then I got engaged.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Now, thank you. So now I'm like, okay, now I have to really focus on P&P so I can have this great dress. So thank you for saying earlier, do you really need to do it before the wedding? He did ask me to marry him looking like this.
Exactly. So, and I will tell you from personal experience, because I've just been married, you know, for a little over a year. And I definitely had some drama about some weight loss and my dress and stuff leading up to the wedding. And, you know, I don't have regrets in life, but it's just like I learned a lot through that process in terms of, yeah, I love your thinking about like he loves me as I am right now. And, you know, how do you want your experience to be leading up to the wedding? Right. And like what, you know, you just really want to think about that and think about how you want. And actually I was working with I'm always working with a coach, but I was working with a different coach, leading up to the wedding. And she said, cause again, I was having a lot of drama around like, am I going to fit into the dress and how much weight do I want to lose and all this kind of stuff. And she said, let's focus on the feelings. How do you want to feel on your wedding day or leading up to your wedding? And I really focused so much on those feelings and that was so helpful. So how do you want to feel when you get married?
I mean, 10 long years of being a single mom and slogging it out every effing day. And I've met the most wonderful man in the world. Like all my girlfriends saying, there's no good ones left. Mm. Yes, there is.
There is. They were not telling the truth. They were wrong on that.
They were wrong. And I actually hired a coach 5 years ago because I was with my ex-husband 20 something years. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to date. There wasn't internet when I got married.
Yeah.
And it was a whole new thing. And she really coached me and led me into a whole different genre of, yeah. So that is really, I want to feel awesome and amazing. And like, this should be the most joyful time in my life. And right now I embody that. Like I'm showing up like that. I'm super happy. Every day is a good day. I have all these other people who are messing up in their lives. And I'm having to fix it. And so I'm struggling.
You're choosing to fix it.
Okay.
Yes. right?
Choosing to fix my 18-year-old mm-hmm. who is in trouble, my mom who's putting my dad in a living facility this week. I'm choosing
right.
to involve myself in that.
Yeah.
And because of that, I put my wedding on hold now. I'm not going to do it in the spring. I'm going to do it in the fall. I put my business on hold because I can't get my mind around and off of how frustrating these other people are. If they could just get their lives together, I could move on with mine.
No, no, they don't need to change one bit. You can only change you. So all that stuff you're saying is in the circumstance line, right?
Yes.
Your daughter, your mom, your yes. wedding date, all of yes. that. Those are all choices you've made, things that you're doing for other people. Now, how do you want to think about those choices? You could even just put choices in the C line. And okay. how do you want to, you've made those choices. Right now, you're thinking, you know, these other people are, you know, are ruining my life or whatever it is, right? And they don't have the power yeah. to do that. They don't have the power to do that. So
Betsy, that sounds so easy.
Well, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's just opening your mind up to these people didn't make me do anything. These people don't have any power over me or my emotions. If I'm feeling frustrated, it's because of what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything they're doing or saying or not doing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to come up? Okay.
Well, I'm not sleeping at night. Mm-hmm. I'm literally waking up at 3:00, 4:00 in the morning and I'm, you know, listening to Corinne. I'm not looking at my phone. There's no reward. I lay there for an hour and a half, 2 hours mm-hmm. and I'm just like hand wringing mm-hmm. about all this.
About all of these choices that you have made in your life.
But I didn't make the choice. They did. But so now I'm being an accomplice is almost what you're saying.
You're not, they didn't make the choice to do what?
Well, they.
Actually, let's not even talk about them. What choices okay. did you make? What choices, all these choices in the C line, what are they? Right. What choices did you make?
So I made a choice that next week, during my vacation on a beach, because yes. I live in Chicago.
Yes.
That I'm flying home mm-hmm. in the middle of my vacation mm-hmm. so that I can be here to support my child.
Yes. So that's choice number one. Okay. Choice number two with your mom.
I'm choosing to support her mm-hmm. in this choice that she's made mm-hmm. to turn over the care of my dad to a facility.
Okay. And choice number three about your wedding.
I'm choosing to put it off until the fall until I can really focus on all the things it's going to take to put that together yes. in another state.
Okay. So you may have some others, but those are three.
Those are the three.
Those are the top. Those are the big three.
Yes.
So those are all go in the C line now. Unless you want to change them right now, are you committed to these three choices?
Yes, I've already.
Okay.
Yes.
They're done. So they are now a fact in your life.
Yes.
Right. And so yes. I want, when you're doing the model, you're familiar with the model, right?
Yes.
I want you to put all of those decisions and choices in the C line and then just look at the blank model after that.
Okay.
And just think about, okay, everything is, the choices were up to you, right? You were always in control. Always.
Yeah.
I mean, you chose to do all of this stuff. And so nothing is out of your control here. It's all on you, right?
Right.
And so now that you've made the choices, how do you want to show up with those choices now really are now your circumstances?
I want to be mad.
You want to be mad? Really? You really want to be mad?
I don't want to be mad, but I am mad.
Okay, yes, you are mad. But how do you want to feel?
I want to feel like I made good choices.
Yeah. You want to feel confident in your choices. You want to feel committed.
Yes.
Right? Because, yes. I mean, think about like your decision to become a coach, your decision to go to the Amy Porterfield event or whatever it is, right? Those were all choices too. They all right. of these fall into the same category of no one else forced me to make any of these choices.
Right.
And so now that they are a fact, you know, they're part of your reality now, mm-hmm. you might as well be committed to them as opposed to resistant to them.
Oh.
Your face. Because they were all, you know, it's, you want to blame someone else, right? You want to blame somebody else. You want
yes.
to not be your creation.
Yes.
But no, it's just all you. Sorry. But again, you did this. I mean, and I joke, I mean, I'm laughing, but you did these, you made these choices for a reason.
Right.
Because you love these people.
Right.
Right. And so you want to continue to remind yourself of that. And that's where the thought line, you know, the intentional thought comes in. I made these yep. choices because I want you to write that out, right? And just write out as many reasons as you can on why you did this, why you made these choices. Because okay. right now you're feeling mad because you thought that they weren't choices, right? You thought you were a victim to them. But no, you were always in control.
All right.
And you want to like your reasons for making the choices, right?
Yeah.
That list to be all things that you like. Because yes. they're made, the choices are made now. So you might as well like your reason for it. For one.
Okay.
Okay. So do your list and then
okay. Making my list.
Make your list. Okay. So what, give me one reason you made these choices.
Because I love these people.
Because you love these people. That's a pretty darn good reason right there. Yeah. Right. But I want
and
to
I
go ahead.
I moved the wedding to the fall because I value my sanity and myself.
There you go. There you go. You are setting yourself up for, you know, for a good experience, you know, right. for your wedding. Right. And so, right. yeah, you just, I mean, you got some reasons that you like there. So there's no reason to be mad. If it was all up to you and you like your reasons.
I want to hold on to being mad.
Why?
It's so much easier to be mad at somebody else. You're right. Let me put my big girl panties yes. on and be a woman.
Be a grown
and this
ass
is my
woman.
Choice. This
Take
is
responsibility
what I'm doing.
For your That's choices. Right. That's what this is all about. Yeah.
All right.
I'm you got in. This.
Thanks.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Choices. Aren't choices fun? We have to take responsibility. Okay, Rebecca. Rebecca's back. All right. We'll get you up first. Or next. Let's see. 03. It's already halfway done, y'all. Are you there? There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate sure. it.
You get your food?
Thank you. I'm out of town and it was my only way to eat tonight. So
okay.
So I need help with a history of over fasting.
Okay.
So I had a story in my head that in 2017, I went low carb and fasting and lost 40 pounds. And then this past weekend, I sat down with what data I did have. I didn't keep a ton of data. And when I really looked closely, I had actually only lost about 30. And then 20 of that was in the first 2 months and then like a trickle for the next 4 months. Mm-hmm. And so that helped kind of loosen that story a bit. Like it wasn't actually true. But from that habit, looking at the PNP tribe, handout on the hunger scale, I was pretty regularly going to like a -4 or -5, and then feasting to like a plus four. That was like regular pattern. And what I noticed in my data review was that stopped working. It did. And I noticed I was trying harder and harder and fasting longer and longer. And then the weight actually started coming back, even with extremely low carb fasting. Mm-hmm. So long story short, of course, I regained all of that. But what happens right now is when I get to a negative two, I have these persistent thoughts that if you just wait, it'll pass.
Right.
Because I trained my brain, and it was partially true. Sometimes you feel like you're at a negative two and you get distracted or.
Yeah. Or something. I mean, hunger does ebb and flow.
Right. Sure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I have these automatic thoughts when I'm at negative two. So I have two different thoughts. One is just wait and it will pass and you'll be able to fast longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's better for you. And the other half says, no, I'm trying to fix this. And that's
but here's the thing. Is it better for you?
Is it better for me to wait?
No, it'd be like when you get to negative two and you say, oh, I should wait longer. It's better for me. Is that true?
Oh, that's a good question. So what I've noticed is, so half the time if I go with it and I'm like, yeah, let me wait, I would say I go back to a zero. And that's mm-hmm. what I says it's better for me because you were going to eat when you weren't really. I know I'm totally overthinking this, but
yes, it's good that you're aware of that.
Like me, I'm glad you didn't eat because you're clearly not that hungry. Because to me, you go from a negative two to a negative four if you really were that hungry. Mm-hmm. But then now I'm trying to repattern that and say I'm at negative two. Am I hungry? Yes. Well, then eat. Don't overthink this. Mm-hmm. And then eat. But I'm still stuck with these. And maybe they just need to, I know I'm just trying to tolerate these thoughts of like, well, if you would have tried, if you would have just waited, you know, you wouldn't have been, you know, you would have proved that you weren't hungry. Now you're overeating.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, just kind of to start off with, but yeah, I mean, I think you're totally like doing the work. I mean, it's like, it's not really like anything really needs to change, but I think for you, it's just, there's a few little thoughts, you know, that I heard about like, well, I mean, your brain is still wanting to go back to what you were doing before, right? Because that was your habit. But you told me, I mean, and I want you to go back and listen to this call, you know, at the very beginning, you told me, you gave me a big story about how it didn't work, right? It wasn't working for you. And so you just got to keep reminding yourself that I know that you want to go back and do this, but it didn't work for me. And now I am doing something new. And it's totally normal for your brain to be resistant to doing something new, right? Everything is happening totally in a totally normal way. The resistance that you're feeling is totally normal. And so for you, it's just a matter of, you know, overriding that resistance and just doing it anyway in terms of, you know, and you got to play around with it, right? The hunger scale is not an exact science. And it's like, even today, for example, I've been at this, you know, at this event in Nashville, and usually I will not eat my first meal until about 11 o'clock, and all the lunches are scheduled at noon. And so I've been getting like really hungry, you know, in the mornings, and I just decided to kind of experiment today. And I said, you know what, because we've been serving breakfast, but I just don't normally eat breakfast. But I said, you know what, I'm just going to have a hard-boiled egg, you know, this morning and see what happens, right? And my brain, I can hear in my brain going, well, you don't normally eat breakfast. You might gain weight if you, you know, if you eat breakfast once.
I mean,
I'm 5 years into this, right? And I still get those little thoughts. And it's this little fear of like, if we do one thing different, then that's the slippery slope, right? Back to, you know, where we were. Or whatever, right? And it's totally normal for our brain to do that stuff because we're doing new things. And so I just said, no, I'm experimenting. I'm just trying something out. And that's for you too, where it's just like sometimes you're going to want to, you know, when you think you're at negative two, eat and see what happens, right? And, you know, and take and, you know, keep lots of data, right? In terms of, okay, I ate when I thought I was at negative two. The meal lasted me this long. These were my physical symptoms, all that kind of stuff, right? You just want to become like a scientist of your body and your mind. This is what I was thinking. And then other days, it's like, okay, I think I'm at negative two, but I'm not sure. I think I'm going to drink some water and wait an hour, see what happens. Just stay really curious with it. So it's just all that process of just staying curious, not ever thinking that it's going to be totally 100% figured out and that you're just working on it. You're just always working on it. But definitely you, for you, reminding your mind that no, going back to what we were doing, that's not what we're doing here because that didn't work for us. And right. Now we're doing something new.
Okay.
So it's just staying curious, trying things, keeping meticulous data, you know, on what works, and then keep doing what works and not doing what doesn't work and moving, just continuing to move forward. So okay. Does that make sense? I mean, I know that it's not the, you know, it's not the easy answer that we're all looking for with this work, but it's how it works. And it's, you know, I think that the good outweighs the bad in terms of, not bad, but, you know, the good outweighs kind of some of the challenging times when you're not certain, when you're afraid that you're going to make a mistake. But, you know, we can take this wherever we go and we can do this for the rest of our lives as long as we're coming from a place of just curiosity and compassion for ourselves, of just figuring it out, always working on figuring it out.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
It does.
All right. We'll just keep moving forward.
Okay.
Keep working on it. All right. Take care. Bye. Okay. Preach. All right. Melinda and Cynthia and Tammy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, how are you? Yes.
I'm great.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
So I'm a January baby, and this is my first coaching call. So you're taking awesome. My coaching virginity.
So proud. Oh, well. Yay.
I have done a lot of personal growth work over the years, but I actually have never made a concerted effort to take my weight off. I've been, you know, overweight for as long as I can remember. In my teenage years, it was more in a super athletic kind of way. But, you know, somewhere in my 20s, I found beer and pizza. And somewhere in my 30s, I'd worked too hard. And long story short, I have arrived at 50 just a couple weeks ago. I'm recently divorced, and I'm in action about making this the most awesome chapter of life so far. And it's been really great. So I'm glad to be in the tribe. But something that's showing up for me and that I'd really love some coaching on is, as I've been doing my thought downloads and journaling and doing my models, like, wow, am I critical? And I'm critical of myself. You know, in my professional life, I do a lot of mentoring and coaching of early stage companies. So, you know, I have a lot of my thinking and skill set is around problem solving. And so I just am seeing over and over and over, like when I start the models, it's like my circumstance is a freaking problem, you know, and I've just really become aware of the criticism and the negativity. And on the surface, I don't think people would say that about me. Like, I'm generally a pretty positive, solution-oriented person. But the chatter in my brain is hypercritical.
So what are you making that mean, you know, at discovering that?
Well, I certainly have a fear that it's so deep in me that, like, I don't know, my dad's kind of Archie Bunker reincarnated in a lot of ways. So, like, I have this fear that I don't know how to get rid of it, that I don't even see it.
Oh, but you see it, right? I mean, you
see it.
Yeah.
But not in real time. I haven't closed the gap between, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but you're just starting the work, right? You're just working on it. But you absolutely are.
I've been working on it in other dimensions for a very long time.
Well, but you're just still working on it, right? And like, but still, in comparison to most people out there, who are totally clueless with what's going on in their head. I mean, you are pretty far along, right? You're recognizing all of this judgment and this criticism that's going on in your head. Now you're right. You're at the point where you're maybe recognizing it more after the fact, after it's happened, but that's part of the process. I mean, that's the first, you know, the first step is like, oh, I'm just realizing that this is what happened. You know, this is what was going on when I overate or whatever. And so that's, you're right where you need to be in terms of just recognizing it after the fact. And then over time, as you continue to just build your awareness and build your work here, you'll start to see it come in beforehand, and you'll be able to recognize it beforehand and then be able to work on changing those thoughts before you get to that action line of the model. I don't know how far along you've gotten yet with the model work, but yeah. And
I plowed through it quite a bit, and yeah. You know, it's like my feeling every time the circumstance has some criticism or judgment kind of in it, I try to make it a fact,
right?
But then when I get to my thoughts, it's just, you know, it's like, oh, I suck,
right?
It sucks. They
yeah.
suck.
Yeah,
it's wrong. It could be yeah. better. You know.
Totally. That sounds about right. But what's so interesting is what I hear is that, like, you're judging your judgy thoughts, right? You're putting like an extra layer of judgment. Coach Kathy, I say this almost every call. Coach, I think she came up with this. I hope she came up with this, but it's like it adds a layer of tar to what you're already thinking. Like when you're like, oh, I shouldn't be thinking that. Like, I can't believe how critical I am about these critical thoughts I'm having. So you just add another layer of judgment on top of that. How about we just peel the tar back off and just say, oh, look at what's going on in my brain. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And let me just kind of be aware of what's going on and, you know, work on it, but not judge what's going on. Does that make
sense? So how do you work on it? Like, do you think I should do models around it, or
yeah,
I mean, kind of predictable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, doing the models on what's going on now, you know, just builds the awareness. And then it's like, okay, well, let's get a specific example. Give me a specific example of a really critical thought that you have.
Oh God, there's
like you said, I suck. What's the circumstance where you think I suck?
Well, it's kind of the perfectionism stuff of like, oh, on Sunday, I mean, I just crushed it on the plan. I was like, this is what's happening this week. Mm-hmm. My schedule is booked out like weeks in advance. And so I know what I'm going to be doing. I made all my plans. And then I had a friend come in from out of town unexpectedly. I actually made decent choices within that scenario, but I was like beating myself up about, I was criticizing myself for not staying on plan, even though I had time to cook and I had stuff in my fridge and, you know, all that.
So you're, I mean, kind of like with Mar, you're, you know, you're criticizing your own choices that you made.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah, that resonated.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so you're aware of that, right? Where it's like, okay, I made this choice to go off my plan because someone came into town. I'm making that mean I suck. You know, I suck at...
Yeah, yeah.
And so
I could totally be like, wow, look at that. I didn't eat the tortillas.
There you go.
And I totally enjoyed the meal. But that's not where my brain goes.
Well, it's not where your brain immediately goes because you're used to being critical of yourself, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're in the habit of beating yourself down and being critical. I mean, it's you know, it's probably something you used to talk about your dad, right? It's something that you maybe grew up with. It's something that you've just been practicing for a long time.
Well, and that discernment has actually served me pretty well in other dimensions of life. It's not serving me well in like my relationship to myself, but
right.
You know,
how has it served you in other areas?
I've developed a keen ability to sort of evaluate business opportunities, mm-hmm. and you know, just the ability to judge with accuracy has resulted in success. And
But I mean, you may be telling your, and so that's fine, right? It's fine to be, you know, judgmental in some other part of your life, but you don't want to tell yourself that, you know, you want to tell yourself, but, you know, over here with my weight loss life, I don't want to be judgmental. Right.
And I'd like to be a more choice about when I deploy the judgment,
right,
as opposed to just like default. That's good. Right. That's bad. That's good. Right. That's
and
bad.
But here's the thing. You're on default right now. And so you're going to immediately go to judgment because that's just what you're used to doing. And so for you, you've got to realize, oh, of course, that's where my brain defaults to, because that's what I do in this other part of my life. And that's what I maybe grew up with or whatever. But I'm working on, and so you don't, you know, freak out or you know, think anything's gone wrong when that initial thought comes in that you've always thought. But then you're already working on new thoughts to practice in terms of, oh my gosh, I still made really good choices when I did go off my plan. And I'm just working on believing that I'm doing what I want to do over here with my weight loss. Right.
Yeah, I really do appreciate the process of what's something good you did right today. It pulls me right out of that. Yes. It's like, oh, yeah, let me count all those too.
I mean, it gets you into a practice of always looking for the good, right? Always looking for something that you can, you know, that you cannot judge, right? That you can, or that you can judge as a success.
Right.
And, but that's all a practice that takes time, right? To get your brain out of looking for the bad and looking for the what went wrong and looking for went right. And every single time that you do that in that planner, that, you know, you're building reps, right? You're strengthening that muscle to direct your brain to look for what's going right. So you're doing the work.
Patience, I guess.
Yes, patience.
Damn it.
That's a common theme across quite a few calls tonight.
Yeah.
But
well, thanks for your time.
Yes. So just real quick, it's just, it's just being okay with those other thoughts coming in and not keeping that from helping you move forward.
Okay. Not saying, good God, why does this take so long?
Yes. Patience for sure. Yeah. Okay.
I'll work on that. All right. Have a great night. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. We got Cynthia, Tammy, and Leslie. We are just moving through like a machine. Cynthia. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on?
Well, I'm a January 19th baby, so elder, I guess you could say.
Yes, you are. You're definitely an elder.
And I will say I'm one of those elders that I didn't necessarily fight doing a lot of the work, but I fought doing work.
Okay.
But I'm 34 days now, consecutive plans.
Awesome.
Planning and assessing. I'm on point. And day before Halloween, I had my gallbladder out. So it's been about 3 months. And I quickly wrote my data. This is my tracker of everything this month so far.
Yes.
And so I'm looking at my data, I'm not good at following my plan for dinner. And I'm going to have to delve deeper into that. But my sleep is off as well. That's actually, sleep's my worst. I actually had a 10-day streak where I had 7+ hours. And today was the first morning I woke up under that. And I have felt it all day. So I will preach that, yes, sleep is very
different. Yes.
But since I finally have gotten balanced out with figuring out what foods work or what foods don't work, I'm kind of lost in my two.
Okay.
So
you've given me a bunch of data, right? Like from the past little while. So, right. And that's what I talked about kind of at the beginning of the call. Like, what is the one thing that you need? We're coming on a new month, right? What's the one thing that you really want to, you can work on some things, you know, multiple things, but really what is the main focus that you want to work on? Is it your two?
It's my two.
Your plus two.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of my minus two. It's kind of been weird. I can go. I'll be okay. I'll be fine. On the 23rd of this month, I did, so last Thursday, I did a whole on the clock day. Mm-hmm. And I was, every time I had the thought of hunger, my stomach was like, oh, hi, hello. I would drink water and it would ebb and flow. Like one of the calls I was listening to on my way to work said it does, it ebb and flows. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, it was a three. I didn't feel the jump from one to two, the two mm-hmm. to three. I felt like I'd gone one to three.
Okay.
But my plus two is the one that's become more difficult to nail down. So I guess what I'm looking for is, should I do another day or two of mm-hmm. just going on the clock to mm-hmm. really almost reset that two?
First, let's back up to your thought, right? Because you keep thinking, well, first off, I even want to back up before what you were talking about your plus two. Even just you talking about your data, mm-hmm. I hear you saying, well, I've been bad at this. Well, my worst thing was this.
Right.
Right. And I really want you to work on your language around your data. The fact that you have data is amazing, right? Right. And mm-hmm. so I really want you to think about your talk around what you're doing. None of this is bad. None of this is good or bad. I mean, this is data. It's not good or bad, right? It's always something that you can learn from.
Right.
So it's never bad. And so it's like, it's a matter of kind of talking about it like, well, what I want to improve on or what I want to work on is mm-hmm. this. Not I've been bad at this, or you know, this is my worst. So that was just something I noticed. And then okay. you just said your plus two is something. Oh, I knew I was going to forget it, but you said like your plus two is the seems to be the thing that you can't figure out, or that you're having the hardest time, you know. And so it's just again kind of that language again of, okay, this is the thing that I'm just working on figuring out, because we don't realize how powerful our thoughts are, but when, you know, when we hear ourselves talk to ourselves and saying, I just feel like I've lost, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've lost my plus two, or I'm just can't find it. Your brain hears that. And it's just like, you know, we're lost, you know, it just doesn't put you in that mindset to figure it out, to just work on figuring it out. So just, it's getting your thoughts in line, and then, you know, coming from a place, when we're talking about feelings, coming from a place of, you know, of openness, of curiosity, of compassion, like working, you know, working on it. I don't know if your gallbladder had anything to do with, I mean, do you think that has anything to do with your hunger signals or anything?
I've noticed it more that in looking at the data, the data shows dinner is always the most difficult time. And I'm a teacher. I commute about an hour and a half each way for work. So I'm up and out the door at 6 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And most of the nights, if I were to go further into the data, the Mondays and Tuesdays are my most difficult dinner nights, because I leave work and more I go to Taekwondo, which is part of my self-care.
Yeah.
So I'm not be hungry. And then by the time I'm done with Taekwondo, it's 8-ish and mm-hmm. I'm not home till 9. Well, then I'm trying to hurry up so I can make my 7 hours of sleep. So part of it is I need to fine tune my time management. Yes. And I do know that.
Yes. Yeah. And also it's just a matter of knowing that no matter how far down the negative side you go in terms of the negative side mm-hmm. of the hunger scale, you don't need more food. Right. Plus two. And I mean, and you know, and when we're overly hungry, we sometimes have an urge to eat quickly because we think this hunger is an emergency and we need to solve it quickly. And it's all that kind of stuff of just practicing that, you know, we're going to be okay no matter what, even if we're a little bit uncomfortable being at -3, -4, whatever it is, we don't need any more food and we don't need to eat it quickly.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of eating really mindfully and that kind of thing. So I think for you, it's just, I mean, you know what you need to do to kind of just stay curious about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're keeping your data. So just continue to keep the data. But the other thing is that you mentioned a second ago about how the hunger kind of went from, like you thought it went from -2 to -4 or whatever. And right. it doesn't do that. It always, you may not notice it, but you know, it right. goes up and down the scale. It doesn't skip numbers. And so right. it's just a matter of practicing, just becoming aware of it and just really maybe even assigning a few times throughout the day where you just assess your hunger levels okay. and just really get to know where you are. Because again, we can get busy and we just are not
right.
aware of our body's signals. And so it's just an ongoing, once again, takes patience to figure all this out. But I think yes. for you, it's talking better about the process, right? And talking about like, I'm working on this. It's not that I'm bad now and I need to get better.
At right. this. And then, yes, those are poor choices because the fact I have data yeah. that I have 9 days now of data is,
yes.
is amazing. I've got, and I also want to say, thanks in case they're listening, my accountability groups, I'm Kindred Spirits. So yay, go Kindred Spirits. And then the Tampa Bay area, PMP, my local area where yes. you know, kind of keep each other accountable. And that has helped, but I guess this is more of like a check-in to see if mm-hmm. I'm, you know.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's one other thing I just thought of because you were talking about like, you know, should I go on the clock or whatever it is? And there's no right answer, right? And there's no absolute answer. And I think I was right. talking to somebody else about this where it's just, you've just got to try stuff. Kind of like I did with the hard boiled egg today, this morning, where it's like, mm-hmm. I had to just try that. And I had to feel the fear of eating breakfast when I don't normally eat breakfast, just because it's like, no, I just want to try something and see how I feel. And so it's just a matter of like trying things and feeling fear and maybe feeling doubt, feeling uncertainty, but doing it anyway, because you're committed to figuring this out and just constantly working on it. And so it's like, there's not a way to do it in a way where you're just absolutely sure what you need to be doing in the moment. It's just got to be just right. trial and error and just trying things.
And that's probably like I right before the gallbladder, even my doctor said, oh, you were probably having more attacks. And mm-hmm. I'm a runner. Any of the girls that are in my accountabilities, we joke, I'm the runner. I run all the miles. I'm the athlete. And so between Taekwondo and running all the miles, I may have had issues and I just didn't notice them until they dropped me. And I was just looking back. My thought is, as I was hitting my stride, like a runner would say, and the gallbladder sidelined me. I mean, and it sidelined me athletically, emotionally, and I've gotten through all that. And I know it's a thought.
Yes.
It's feeling that I'm missing something now because my weight has, I'm not up or I'm not down. I'm kind of fluctuating in the same 5 pound zone. And I'm trying to pinpoint something that I can play with to see mm-hmm. if that's, do I need to move my protein sources around to keep me mm-hmm. satiated more or, mm-hmm. you know, so I guess I just have to look deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also hear, I mean, it sounds like you've done some work on it, but I hear kind of some, you know, some work for you to do there in terms of, you know, what happened with this, with the gallbladder and all of that. Like, are you having thoughts about, you know, not being able to trust your body because you didn't initially hear the signs of the gallbladder issue,
right.
you know? And so that may be
right.
kind of some residual stuff from that, where it's just like, you're having these questions about, can I really trust my body? Can I really, Am I hearing all the signals? Because, you know, I didn't hear all the signals with the gallbladder thing. And so you're, you know, some doubt may be kind of floating around in there, some distrust of your body.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Some more work to do, some more TDLs to do on that right. to really kind of explore some of that. Cause I think it's maybe kind of, in there somewhere of just, you know, am I really able to trust my body? And just thinking that I was sidelined, right? That's a thought
right.
that wasn't serving you, right? And so it's
right.
just digging a little bit more into that stuff too.
Okay.
Okay.
And that I'm great. I'm happy. Okay. I've got 30 4 days of consecutive plans.
I love it. I mean, it's just like you can do so much more coming from a place of having all this data, right? I mean, the value of data is just, it's invaluable because you know what you need to work on, you're honest with yourself, and you can just move forward with this, you know, with this data, you know, to back you up. So, and you've got the support, sounds like you've got support in place in terms of all your people. So you are set to just keep moving forward.
So I'll TDL on it. And when I finish it, I'll post it.
Yes. Post it, get back on, get back in here. We can talk about it, right. Tag me or, you know, whatever, but yeah. So just keep working on that too, for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Awesome. Question. And I'll see you at DSB. So
yay. It'll be here before we know it. I can't believe it. So all right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Let me say gallbladder. Taking notes. There you go. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. What's going on?
Well, I'm really nervous. This is the first time I've ever gotten coached.
Well, I'm proud of you for getting on here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I joined in September of 18.
Okay.
So I am not a baby whatsoever.
Yes.
I've lost 40 pounds so far.
Amazing.
And I've gotten, and you know, even in the times that I wasn't losing steadily, I've been able to, you know, I don't have scale drama in my head anymore. I know it's just data. I don't stress about that. And I have a few notes here, and I kind of like was in phase 3 for a while where I felt I was coasting. And then I don't know if it was, well, it was the holidays. And then I ended up in the hospital for about 5 days in December. And then that was right before Christmas. And now just these last couple weeks, I just can't seem to get back on track. And like this past week, I skipped making a plan twice. And it had gotten so habitual for me that, you know, the first time it felt really weird. And then I was just really surprised how 2 days later, it was just so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
To not make a plan.
Yeah.
And so today I was on plan and I didn't even really have a stressful day, but I got home. I was really hungry. I've been trying to play with my hunger scale, thinking maybe that's stalling me a little bit. Maybe my +2 really is not a +2. Mm-hmm. And so I was eating dinner and I was eating what I planned, but I could feel myself getting, you know, over a +2, but I just kept eating. And then I wanted to eat this donut sitting on my counter right now. Like, because
so
I just
did
want
you
to
keep, why did you keep eating at dinner? What were you thinking about?
I don't know. That's my problem. That's kind of why I'm calling, because I struggle with the discovery sheets. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I put too much pressure on myself. I know one time on a Q&A, I think it was Corinne had answered, and she said, you know, sometimes you just want the food. Yeah. There's no deep, dark secret.
No, I mean, it may be, I mean, I think for you, it's just, you've got to, you know, we talk about little wins and little quits. And you've just got a few little quits, you know, in the last few weeks that have kind of added up. And that's what happens. I mean, it's just like, you know, not making a plan one day and then maybe having an overeat this day. And then, you know, and then you don't make another plan another day. And it's all these little quits. And your brain starts kind of adding those up and thinking, well, maybe we're just going back to what we used to do before we lost weight, right? And so your brain goes looking for, well, what are other little ways we could make little quits? You know, this, I mean, and it may be something like, well, this won't matter. You know, this is just one little meal or one little day of, you know, of a plan. And mm-hmm. so it's just recognizing that all of that is normal because your brain is, has the urge to go back to what you were doing before, right? And so it's about not being surprised that how easy it is to, you know, to go back. And even though you've developed a new habit, you didn't make a plan for years, you know, for years before that, right? And so it still wants to go back to those old habits, but it's just being okay with that and saying, okay, that's just my brain working the way it's supposed to, but I'm just getting right back at it. And it's going to feel a little uncomfortable because I'm just, you know, fighting the urge to, or not fighting the urge, but just allowing the urge to not, you know, to not get back at it, but I'm just going to keep doing it and, you know, be a little uncomfortable, but it's important to me. You know, it's reminding yourself of your compelling reasons and why you lost these 40 pounds you've already lost and why you want to keep losing.
I think I struggle like with wanting to be, with allowing myself to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I struggle with that. I also think I'm scared of TDLs. Like I feel like there's some big hidden thing that I'm going to discover or I don't want to look at or, you know.
And maybe being uncomfortable is going to like bring some of that stuff up, right?
Yeah.
That you think that, but, you know. Like you said, usually it's not any, there's not any deep, dark, you know, secrets usually down in there. It's just, you just want to go back to what you were doing. Your brain's going to want to just overeat. And so it's just because I want it and you, but you know, and so it's just not living in fear of the discomfort.
When does my brain stop wanting it?
Like never. So it's, but over time, you know, I hear resistance, right? I hear you fighting it and you want to practice allowing the urges, right? And that's all of phase three of No BS. So have you gone through the new No BS yet?
Yeah, I'm working on it now. I'm
okay.
I'm through to module four.
Okay.
So,
okay. Well,
I went through it initially, mm-hmm. but since it's revamped mm-hmm. and I thought it would be, you know, good
so
to go.
All of phase three, the overcoming overeating section is all about like just what I was saying, how the brain works with urges, how it just always wants to go back to what it was doing. And then it gives you that process of, you know, I mean, but again, I mean, discomfort is part of the deal, right? Discomfort is part of the deal around here in terms of that's required, but over time, as you practice it and practice not resisting it, but just letting it be there and you know, it gets easier. It gets easier, but it will always probably be there.
That sucks.
But well, it sucks if you think it sucks, right? But that's where your compelling reasons come in. Did you do the new compelling reasons worksheet?
I don't think so.
Okay. I want you to go back and do that. It's actually part of the planner course because there's a whole lesson in the planner course specifically on compelling reason. And it's a new worksheet where it actually divides it up into categories of reasons. And I filled that out the other day and it was a game changer. I came up with so many new reasons of why I want to lose weight or keep my weight off. And so I want you to go back through and that's because the purpose of a compelling reason is not to make things easier. It's not to take the discomfort away. It's to remind you why you are choosing discomfort in the moment. And that's what I think you need to remind yourself of is,
yeah,
okay. I mean, discomfort is not going to kill me. And yeah, it's not going to feel great. It might suck a little bit, but I'm okay for it to suck because this is what I really want. And this is why. And reminding you of all your whys.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to camp in April too. So I'm super
excited. Yeah. Oh, good. I can't wait to meet you. And you're getting so much support over here in the chat. It's not even funny.
I have really good, I actually have two different accountability groups. Yeah. One of them formed because we're all going to camp and they're both awesome. So
great. Oh my gosh. I love all these groups getting together. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I will see you soon. That'll be here.
Okay.
That'll be here.
Yeah. Let's April.
See. Yeah.
A couple months.
All right. I'll see you
Thank
soon.
You.
Okay.
Bye.
Let's see. I'm trying to get you off of here. There we go. Okay, she took herself off. Okay, Leslie.
Hello.
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I got kicked off like a couple times because I got calls, phone calls.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got on. Okay, what's going on?
Yeah. All right, so I'm also a January this year baby, and I am getting a little all over the place where I've changed a lot of things, and a lot of things are really good, but I haven't kept any weight off. Like, it, you know, just in this 1 month, it was like down and up.
Okay.
And so that, you know, I did my first thought download today because I got to that section in the No BS, and I posted it in the group.
Right.
And people were really helpful. Oh, maybe she's back.
Oh my gosh, y'all, that was so weird.
I was holding my own show there.
You were keeping it. I'm so sorry. I think that I realized that. I thought that my computer was charging and it wasn't. And
so
it just, everything shut down.
Okay. So, okay. Everybody was very nice. They were talking to me and it was so weird because all I could see was my face.
Okay. So I've got my chart. I'm so sorry. All right. And you were like right in the middle of talking. And so I'm hoping that, that we're good. Okay. So, okay. So you have been.
That's so funny. So everybody was so funny. They're like, do you know any songs?
Y'all were just keeping yourself while I was away. Okay. So, really, all right.
Okay. So, basically my feeling right now is, you know, I'm feeling impatient.
Okay.
And weight loss has always been, it's never stayed off, but it's been relatively quick, especially in the beginning. And I know that is not necessarily good, but it's a weird feeling now to have it be slow.
Why? Yeah. Why is that weird?
Well, because it's never happened before.
It's just different, right?
Yeah, it's different.
It's just different, but But it's just recognizing that nothing's gone wrong, right? Nothing is, I mean, you know about PNP, right? It is different in terms of the weight. You know, we do things a little differently, and that means that the weight may not immediately just fall off like other
people. And I have always said, I mean, from, you know, basically back to being in college and going to OA and feeling that was way too intense to mm-hmm. everything in between. I've always said I want to be able to eat anything, you know, and just still have a balanced, healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
And so that's what you guys are preaching, and that's amazing. So I, you know, before this call, so today I was like, oh, I've got to go more on the high nutrient plan, and I've got to do this. And I mean, I was, you know, it just threw me to like, you know, I need to see something. I need to see some change. And there is a ton of change, but it's just not physical.
Right. And so I think for you, it's like, what if I'm supposed to be seeing that change right now? Right. What if I'm just supposed to keep going the way I'm going, and the physical change will come, but I'm doing it differently this time. And maybe this other change is supposed to happen first before the physical change comes.
And the big picture is really great too, because, mm-hmm. because of this daily journaling, it just kind of dawned on me. I haven't gotten any fast food. I haven't bought any candy. I haven't, you know, in general, like 95% peace around things.
But for you, I mean, first off, I mean, 95% peace is pretty good, right?
It's really quite amazing. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, why hasn't anything, you know, physically changed?
But I think, you know, your brain wants to go to, I must be doing something wrong, right? I must need to be doing something different. And what if you absolutely just, there's nothing to change, that this is just how it's supposed to go. Hmm. Right. And because what you did before didn't work, or you wouldn't be here.
Very true.
Right. And so how about let's just, you know, this was one of my biggest power thoughts when I was losing weight was I'm just going to do it differently this time. I'm just going to try this crazy PNP way of doing it differently, because what I've done before, and that's where your brain wants to go. That's all it knows is what you've done before.
Right.
But it forgets the fact that it didn't stay off and it didn't work long term. And
it's that hit, that you know, that initial yes. hit of
it
like,
forgets. You know. I mean, it, yeah, it's looking for that hit. Cause that's what it, yeah. that's what happened before. And, but we know that all those quick fixes don't work, or we wouldn't be here trying something where it's more of a longer. I mean, it's a fix, but it's a longer term fix, right? It's a slow fix.
It's a real fix.
It's a real fix. Exactly. Right? The slow fix is the real fix.
Okay. Yeah. And that was my final line was, in the R was consistency creates change.
There you go.
So that's where, so it was very helpful to do this, and people were helpful online as well about it. And I guess, the thing I wrote in the coaching thing was, so I thought maybe I need to go more, you know, the nutrient way. It's just a, you know, whole food, plant-based diet, you know, more just better than what I have been eating. And I thought, should I do that? And then my thoughts were, well, you know, I've done that in the past. And then I've, even though I felt amazing, there was a time that I backlashed. And
yeah, so it doesn't sound like that's realistic for you,
but could it be that it doing it in this new way with doing these thought downloads, will that be, I was wondering if, because it would be doing it differently.
You want to ask yourself, okay, why am I wanting to do this? Right. So I'll ask you, why are you wanting to change this, you know, basically change your food?
Well, part of it is to maybe jumpstart something physical. And part of it is because it would be the ideal way to eat in my life.
So what about building up to that with level ups over time?
Yeah, that's exactly. I needed to remember that level up word. Because I thought, well, maybe I'll just start with breakfasts, you know, like just these amazing healthy breakfasts and then go from there.
It's the tricky way of your brain going, well, but okay. So what's, I mean, cause jumpstart is not any different than quick fix.
Jumpstart. Right. Yes. Those words. Yeah.
It's just your brain being tricky. Like, well, okay.
Detox.
Let's detox. Let's do a quick jumpstart.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that. You just want to like your reason for doing it, and it's got to be realistic and doable long term. And absolutely, it'd be great if you want to eat that way right now, but is that realistic for you? And, or is a more leveled up, slower process what will work for you? I mean, only you can answer that, right? But, mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's like, I think the idea of starting with like, with just one meal, starting with one meal and then going from there is a great, great start.
Yeah. And I already eat a lot of good things anyway, but, and been vegetarian for 30 years, but it's just, you know, it's like the perfect way, you know, just like, you know, kind of that, you know, perfect ideal if I could be that person kind of thing.
but I think when you hear that, were those words perfect? I mean, I don't like to think of this way, anything about this way is perfect.
Yeah.
That means that you're setting yourself up for unrealistic things, you know.
Right.
because none of us are perfect.
So I'll just work on it with the level ups. That will make that make sense. And then I have one question that keeps kind of stalling me in a way. I know you can't do coaching until you're done with No BS. You know, the coaching with you guys, right?
The private coaching?
Yeah. I mean, it says in there you have to do No BS first.
Okay. Yeah. But
that's fine because I need to learn all this stuff anyway.
Okay.
The thing that comes up for me is, and it's always comes up for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have clients in my office and I work with people with anxiety and all kinds of things. Whenever I have an opportunity or I have a way to do it in a different way, you know, or I don't know, when I have an opportunity to heal in some way, if I feel like other people don't have that opportunity, then I think it's a bad thing. Does that make sense? Like if I feel like if everybody can't have the opportunity to do something and I'm going to help them in the future, then I shouldn't do it that way. Does that make sense?
But you're assuming you know what everyone else needs.
It's kind of it's always a guilt feeling of like even if I have time in my day, I think like, well, like today I was sick and I stayed home and I was able to do that. And I think, gosh, you know, other people don't have the luxury to stay home. And I feel guilt, like, I don't know.
I think for you, it's a matter of like, you know, doing some writing about this, doing some TDLs, but taking other people out of it and saying, why do I think that I don't deserve to take care of myself because I have the means and because I have the ability? You know, everyone is taking care of themselves, right? Everyone is ultimately responsible for themselves.
I guess definitely I always think of other people, but the thing I think of is like, if someone, you know, has six kids and, you know, they work 50 hours a week and they can, and they can lose, like, I feel like, I don't know. I get really caught up in that.
I mean, the way I say it, it almost sounds like you're kind of projecting all this stuff on other people. So you don't have to look at yourself and say, why do I think that I just don't deserve something that I've worked for? And like, I've made choices, you know, to be able to provide myself with these things. I think it's just a matter of always turning it back on you and saying, what am I making this mean about me? What am I making this mean about me? And what I think I deserve, what I think I am, entitled to, or that kind of thing.
And I feel like it's kind of cheating. There's like a cheating feeling or something to use a coach, which doesn't make any sense because I coach people, but I don't know. I get very caught up in that.
I think you've got some more work to do just in terms of like, yeah, like why do I, you know, just asking yourself, why do I think of it as, you know, you're thinking of it as cheating.
Yeah.
And you see that as ridiculous, but you're still thinking it. So there's some reason there. There's something going on there. And it's just thinking of, okay, I keep thinking this, but how could I think about it? I could think about it as I'm getting help from a coach and then I could pass that on to other people if I wanted to, you know, what I learned from them. And, or I am just putting myself as a priority and that's important to me. It's all about what's important to you and what your priorities are in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think for you, it's just a matter of kind of exploring all those thoughts that are coming up. And
that's a TDL. You can do that in that. So the circumstance is,
well, that's just a TDL is just a thought download. That's just a brain dump. You know, you're just writing, free writing.
The model is
the CTFAR.
Oh, got you.
And so you can put that in the model, but I just think you just right now, just write about it and just question all of your thoughts and what you're thinking. And don't just say, oh, that's, you know, that's ridiculous. Say, no, I'm thinking this for a reason. What is it? What is going on here? What do I make all this mean about me? Why do I think all this stuff?
Yeah, that I don't deserve it.
And you don't deserve it and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's super helpful. Well, thanks for coming back on.
Okay. Well, thank you for holding the fort down while I was gone. Sorry about that, y'all. So we'll have to, actually I may be able to like, you know, connect the videos together into one video. So I'll work on that. So okay. Two separate ones, but thank you again. I can't wait to watch you, you know, entertaining everyone while I came back. So again, sorry about that.
Thanks everyone for
all right.
Hanging with me.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, y'all. Well, this was fun. This was a little interesting tonight. I swear I thought my computer was charging. It was plugged in, but it was like, you know, the plug was upside down and I think maybe it like came out of the plug and it just wasn't charging when I thought it was. So anyway, I'll figure out a way to kind of probably just edit these videos and put them together and then for the replay. So, oh my gosh, y'all, this was so much fun. I just was like power coaching. I think I coached 10 of you all tonight, which I love to do. And so the replay will be up soon. But so tomorrow night, I know we had one person I couldn't get coached. JB, I couldn't get to you. But also I lost the questions when my computer died. So I want y'all to take all the questions because I think there were two or three questions in there. There weren't a ton. But Kathy will be doing the Q&A tomorrow night at 5:00. So she's here in Nashville with me. Of course, she lives in Nashville, but she's here in the hotel with me. And so she's going to be doing the Q&A tomorrow night from 5 till probably 6:15, 6:30, something like that. And so save your questions for her because she's just doing all Q&A tomorrow night on Zoom, 5 Central. So save your questions for that. And yeah, Merle, just get your question down for Kathy tomorrow night. And so I'm going to get off of here so the video's not too long. And y'all have a great night. And I will see you all again soon. I'm not sure the next time I'm coaching, but Kathy will be on tomorrow night. And then Corinne will be back on Sunday for planning and coaching. All right. Y'all take care. Bye.